and joy and love, and then the white candle in the middle is the Christ candle that we'll light on Christmas Eve at the candlelight service. But one of the things that I've been thinking about, really back as we were finishing Galatians, is Paul used a phrase about what matters. What matters is a new creation. What matters most? And I thought about this as we're preparing for Christmas, that hope matters. We're going to look at peace mattering and joy, the difference that it makes in our lives. And so I want you to read with me this beginning in chapter 1 of Luke at verse 26 there. It says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you.' But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' Mary asked the angel, 'How can this be, since I have not had sexual relations with a man?' The angel replied to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' said Mary. 'May it be done to me according to your word.' Then the angel left her." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for the hope that only you can give. The hope that we have, Father, that this is not the end, and this is certainly not all there is. Lord, we thank you that you call us closer and closer to you because of the hope that we have in you. And Father, just open your word to us today and teach us from it and speak into our hearts and our lives, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, I wanted to ask that question, why does hope matter to us? What does hope do for us? Well, you may not really see much hope in this until you get to the very end of the saying, the teaching there that Mary said, "May it be done to me according to the Lord's word." That was a statement of hope. But have you ever been in a place in your life where you were just completely hopeless? You didn't know where you were going to turn, what you were going to do, how you were going to pay a bill, how you were going to get through a season. It may be a loss, it may be just any number of things, but it left you completely hopeless. We live in a world that's lacking hope. And hope is, if it's not there, if there, a lot of times we place our hope in a lot of different things, don't we? We place our hope in money in the bank, and that's all great until the money's not there anymore. Okay, until you go through something like we did about 10 years ago or 15 years ago now, I guess, with the banks collapsing and all of that taking place, and there were people that had plenty until all of a sudden they didn't, and they lost a lot of hope. The beginning of the Great Depression, I think it was Black Friday where the stock market crashed. There were people jumping out of their office windows and committing suicide because they lost everything, and they couldn't see any hope, any way out. When I began thinking about hope, I thought about people with mental illnesses, mental distress, mental problems that they're going through, and I began to look up how many people in the country are diagnosed with some type of mental disorder. It can be schizophrenia or something to that extreme, or just some mild case of depression that somebody may be going through. But there are about 20% of the nation, over 20% of the people in our country, that deal with some type of mental disorder. Only about 5% of the people deal with what they call a serious disorder, which is something that does really interrupt your life, disrupt your life, where you can't continue in a job, or you've got to take some time getting some help before you can really continue on with life. Most of it is these things that we think of as depression, anxiety, those different types of things. But I don't want you to think in any way that I'm making light of those, or that I'm saying that if you just have faith, God's going to do away with all that. That's not what I'm saying at all. That's kind of like saying, well, if you just have faith, that cancer is going to be gone. Well, God, if God's promised it, that's good. If He hasn't promised it, He hasn't promised it, and His plan may be something different. But I want you to see, well, let me just say it this way. One thing I can tell you is that hope really does matter to us. And Jesus is the only one who can give us real hope. He's the only one that can bring hope to us. Relationships we have with other people are wonderful, and they may give us a lot of hope in this world. But at some point, people are going to let you down. We're going to let each other down. Like I said, money, family, jobs, relationships, all these different things, but all those things are temporary. Christ is the only one that's eternal, the only one that's never going anywhere. So there's this hope that we have in Christ that we can become better than we are. Have you ever looked at yourself and thought, I don't know, maybe God gives you a clear picture of your sinfulness and of who you really are, and you think, I don't know how in the world I'm going to become better. Christ gives us hope that there's a better version of us that through Him He will put into us. There's hope that there's a plan in this world, that He is fixing the problem of sin in this world. And there's hope there that there is something so much better than what we have here waiting on us. Something so much better than what we have here that's waiting on us. And when I look at Mary, I want you to see today the fear is really the enemy of hope. And you can look at a couple of people in this Christmas story in this first chapter. One is Mary, and when she saw the angel, there in verse 29, it says, the angel came, greeted her, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Now, I don't know about you, the angel would scare me to death, but that greeting may make me feel a little bit better, but it says here that Mary was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. And the angel told her, do not be afraid. If you go back a couple of verses to verse 12 in this chapter, you go to Zechariah. And Zechariah was standing in the temple. He had been the one chosen to bring in the sacrifice, the offering, to burn the incense for prayers that day in the temple. It was done by lots, and God had chosen to put him in there by lots. And this angel, same angel, Gabriel, shows up. And he greets him the same way. Verse 11, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense, which was probably like right there. Not way over there, but right there in front of him. So it scared Zechariah. When Zechariah saw him there in verse 12, he was terrified and overcome with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. And he gave him reasons to not be afraid. But Zechariah was overcome with fear. Now, Mary, according to the way this is worded, Mary was more afraid than Zechariah was. Zechariah was overcome with fear. He let that fear control him. Mary, it says, was deeply, deeply troubled. It's a word that's only used in this case in the New Testament. It's not used anywhere else in the Bible. She was that afraid of what was going on in front of her and of the greeting that was there. But we see Mary at the end of this saying, "I'm your servant, use me." Zechariah was saying, "Lord, I don't know how you're ever going to do this, and I don't know, Lord, this can't happen, and there's no way this can ever happen," and he wouldn't believe God. He was overcome with that fear. But I want you to see today that fear is a natural response. You know, fear is, we tell people, and the Bible says it many, many times, do not fear. Fear is a natural response. If you are going hiking in Yellowstone National Park and you come up on a grizzly bear, you're going to be afraid, aren't you? He may be trained, but you're going to be afraid when you see him because you don't know that. You know the story about the guy that was hiking and came on a bear, and the bear started to chase him, and God kind of froze everything. And an angel spoke to this man, and he said, "You trust in Jesus now, and that bear won't eat you." And the man said, I can't believe in a God. I can't trust in Jesus." And the angel said, "Look, you got one more chance now. That bear is coming at you when I let things go, and that bear is going to eat you if you don't trust in Jesus. But Jesus loves you. He wants you to trust in him." And the man said, "Well, how about this? You make the bear a Christian, and the bear won't eat me then." The angel said, "Okay." So he let things go again. The bear bowed down and said, "Lord, thank you for this meal I'm about to have." We've got opportunities to trust in Christ. We just don't take them a lot of times. But fear, when we're afraid of something, we're either going to, I'm adding one to the old thing, we're either going to freeze, or we're going to fight, or we're going to run away. Fight or flight, you know, is our response. But sometimes we freeze. We don't do either one of those. Well, if you come across that bear and you freeze, you're going to get eaten. If you run, he can outrun you, and you're going to get eaten. And if you try to fight the bear, you're going to lose, and you're going to get eaten. Now, being afraid of something is natural. It's normal. But what we do with that fear is a choice that we make. See, that's where Mary and Zechariah were very different. Mary was blessed by God after this. Mary had to go home and tell her parents as a teenage girl and tell her fiancé that she was pregnant with the Son of God, that she was still pure as the driven snow, but God had impregnated her with the Messiah. Who's going to believe that? And later in Jesus' ministry, the rumors were still going around about him, and I think it was the Pharisees that said, "We know who our father is." And it was a dig at Jesus. They were talking about Abraham, but it was a dig at Jesus. And Jesus kind of said, "I know who my father is too, and I know him, and you don't." But this was something very serious she was dealing with. How are we going to deal with all this? What are we going to do? You come across those things like that, and you start to wonder, what am I going to do? How are we going to make it through this? But we've got a God that is there with us. The angel said to both of them, "Do not be afraid." Zechariah, as I said, was afraid and overcome by fear. The fear took over his response. And so at the end of this, Zechariah was struck dumb. He couldn't speak until the child was born. A child that wasn't conceived yet. He couldn't tell anybody what God was doing for him. He couldn't share the praise other than to write it down. But as I said a moment ago, Mary was even more afraid, but she made a different choice. So where did Mary's hope come from? Where did her hope stemmed from? Well, it was God's grace. The three things that are right there: God's grace, God's plan, and God's promise. The first thing the angel says to her before she's even afraid is there again in verse 28, the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Now that word greetings, or I'm sorry, the word favored there is the same word as grace. Grace to you. God's favor to you. God loves you. Do you know that every time God greets you, He's greeting you out of His love? Every time God greets you, He may be angry with you about something, but He's greeting you because He loves you. He's not going to leave you where you were. I keep going back to it because I keep going through Psalm 139 every morning, and I see in there that those last few verses that say, "Search my heart, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns and see if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the eternal way, the everlasting way." It's not God saying, "Repent of your sins, God, turn away from these things." It's a psalm that is celebrating the great relationship that he has with the living God. And at the end of it, he's saying, "Lord, show me anything in me that's not right, because I want to walk with you." And God graciously shows that to us. God is coming to Mary here through the angel Gabriel. She was deeply troubled. It keeps coming back to me by the statement, more than the angel being there, by the statement. And she was wondering what kind of greeting this could be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." And he says it again, "You found favor with God." God loves you. You are in God's grace. Now, Mary was not sitting there going, "Lord, I really wish you would make me the mother of the Messiah. That would be the most wonderful blessing I could ever have in this world." She was minding her own business. And God came to her. And he didn't say, "Mary, you are the best woman that is ever going to live on the face of the earth. You are the most holy woman and going to be the best mother to my son that you could imagine." It was not about Mary. But she found grace with God. Wherever you are, there is where you begin. You found grace with God. You say, "I don't know him." You can know him today. You can trust him today because God is wanting to give you his grace. He does not want to give judgment. He wants to give the grace that only God can give, a freedom and a forgiveness there. But there's also a plan. He tells her in verse 31, "Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." These are things saying to Mary, making it very, very clear that this is the Messiah. This is not just going to be a really good baby or somebody that's going to do something very special. This is the one that I've been promising since Genesis 3. And you're going to be the mother. God has a plan. There are a lot of times people will ask, "Why did God do this to me?" And an answer that a lot of people don't want to hear is that God really didn't do this to you. We live in a sinful world. We live in a world that is messed up. We are messed up and broken. The world is messed up and broken. And we get sick and we have bad things happen to us. People we love get sick and have bad things happen to them. I had a man ask me one time, "Why is God punishing me?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He's not a believer in Christ. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, my grandmother died. And I feel like if I'd been closer to God, maybe she wouldn't have died." And I said, "No. Your grandmother got sick. She was old, and God brought her home. But you didn't have anything to do with that. That's just the state of the world that we live in, and it's going to happen to all of us." But God is not judging you in that. I was able to share with him very kindly that God will judge. And God, when you stand before him, if you don't know Jesus, you will be judged. Because you've been given everything, every opportunity to trust him. It doesn't take much to just look around and see the goodness of God all around us. And by the way, last week when y'all sang the goodness of God, we sang it as a church. I started to tell y'all to calm down just a little bit because I thought the windows might start shaking. Y'all were singing so loud. It was a wonderful thing to hear. To hear praise about God's goodness. But God's saying, look, I've got a plan. You say, this terrible thing is coming on me. God's saying, trust me. I've got a plan. I knew about it before you did. And I've got it worked out. But there's also the promise of God. Mary asked here in verse 34, how can this be? Since I've not had sexual relations with a man. This is impossible. It's never been done before. It's never happened before in the history of the world. It's not ever going to happen again in the history of the world. How can this be? Zechariah asked the same question. How, and me and my wife, who's old, he pointed out that she was old, I think, not him. But how can this happen? We can't have children. And he kept coming up like Moses. He kept coming up with excuses. Lord, this can't happen. And God said, it is going to happen. And here's the sign. You're not going to say anything else till it's completed. Mary asked this question. And God gives her the answer. The angel replied to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who is called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God. Absolutely nothing will be impossible with God. That's the first message of Christmas. Nothing is going to be impossible with God. There's a promise that is there. Now, does that mean God is going to heal every disease that we ever have? No. If that were the case, if you had enough faith to have God heal you every time you were ever sick, we'd have people walking around here that were 1,000 years old because they hadn't died yet. But it doesn't happen that way, does it? We trust God's promise. Because we can trust Him. We trust His plan because we can trust Him. We trust His grace. And sometimes that's the hardest thing for us to trust. Because I know in my heart that I don't deserve it, but He gives it to me. And He's saying, here, take it. If you were walking into a bank and there was a man standing outside the bank with a bag full of $100 bills, and he held it up to you and said, take all you want. I think I'd walk on by because there's something fishy about that. You know, he may have just robbed that bank and he's putting the money on me now. I don't know. But God's sitting there with everything, with life, and saying, here it is abundantly. Take it. What a great God we serve. Now, got just a couple of more things that we'll go through very quickly. We're going to be governed either by fear or by hope. As I said, fear is a natural response. You've heard the statement that courage is being afraid and going ahead anyway. God tells Joshua time and time again, do not be afraid. Be strong and be very courageous. You're going to be afraid. Go anyway. Why does the angel say don't be afraid? The word fear there is where we get our word phobia. It's an unfounded fear. Spiders, people are very afraid of. We can step on them. Some of them can jump, though, so I don't like those either. But if you remember a few years back, somebody put a tarantula on my head in Vacation Bible School. The snakes were fine, but the tarantula was not. I didn't like that at all. That thing was crawling around on my head, and all I could feel was like hairs were blowing, like the wind was blowing through hair that I don't have up there. And so I didn't like that at all. We're afraid of some things that are just unfounded. We get into a tight place, and if I can't pull my arms out like this, I really don't like it. I can make myself going through it, but I really don't like it. Some people don't like heights. I was up here Friday putting some Christmas lights up around the courtyard right here, and my wonderful dog jumped on the ladder while I was up on top of it. She got in trouble. Don't do that again. I don't mind the heights so much as I mind the fall. But fear is something unfounded. And it's unfounded because God is in the middle of this, and He's saying, I have you. You don't have to be afraid. We'll be governed either by fear or hope in every situation. Hope is going to overcome fear when we trust in Jesus. Hope is only as good as who you put your hope in or what you put your hope in. Christ is the only one that's eternal. As we close, I want you to see this one scripture right here, Psalm 130, verse 7. When you read it out of the psalm, it says, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for there is faithful love with the Lord, and with Him is redemption in abundance. But I put a line there where Israel is supposed to be. And I want you to put your name in there. And say that verse to yourself. Steve, put your hope in the Lord. For there is faithful love with the Lord, and with Him is redemption in abundance. Put your hope in Him. Christmas is a time of hope. Whatever you're afraid of, you can put your hope in Him. Whatever you're worrying about, maybe someone else's problems that you're worried with, maybe a grown child or a teenage child or any age, we worry about our children. Maybe grandchildren, but we can put our hope in Jesus. With somebody else's problem, you can put your hope in Jesus with your soul. Because He loves you. And while it was man's choices that messed this world up, He gives us the choice to come back to Him and begin that process of getting to be more and more like He made us to be in the beginning. You have that time to put your hope and trust in Jesus today. If you don't know Him as Savior, He is here and He is speaking into you, asking you today through His Word, through the prayers of people that have already been lifted up, and through His Spirit to just trust Him. Come to know Him today. And it's as simple as saying, God, I've been going my own way all of my life, but I want to go with You now. I'm turning from that and I'm going toward You. And He'll save you immediately. And you don't have to ever worry about that soul again. You, at that point, you couldn't go to hell if you wanted to. Because your hope is in Christ. And by the way, hope in the Bible is something very different from hope in the world. At Christmas time, the kids say, I hope I get. I hope I get this for Christmas. I hope Santa Claus brings me this. It might happen, it might not. But in Christ, it's a guarantee. I trust Him. He's the one I put my hope in. Have you put your hope in Him? Whatever the situation is today that you're struggling with and dealing with, He is greater than it is. And you can trust Him with whatever He's going to do. He doesn't allow us to tell Him what He's going to do now. but you can trust him with what he's going to do in you. I want to ask you, if you would, to stand with me and let's pray. I don't know how God may be speaking to you today, but whatever it is, I pray that you'll say yes to him, that you'll be obedient to him. I'm going to pray, and Stephanie's going to come lead us a time for invitation. If you want to trust Christ today, come forward. If there's something you want to lay at the altar and put your hope in Jesus, do that today. Whatever it is God's telling you to do, be obedient to him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this time. Lord, have your way right now in us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.